Exodus 17. Genesis, Exodus, and then go to chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 8. We're going to take verse 8 all the way to verse 16. So if you'll follow along as I read these verses. Now, before I read the text, let me explain. We have some guests here, so you know how we do the teaching. Basically, what we do is we just pick out a book that God wants us to study, and on our afternoon or evening services, we're preaching through the Old Testament. And so we preach all the way through the book of Genesis already, and now we have found our way through Exodus up to chapter 17, and we're taking context by context. We don't leave anything out. And so tonight we'll be studying verse 8 to 16. And then in Sunday mornings, we're in 1 Corinthians. On Wednesday night, we're in 2 Peter. And so just so you know, we do exposition. So we study the verse, the scripture, verse by verse. So if you'll look at verse 8 with me, we'll read our text. Then came Amalek. There's a lot wrapped up in that phrase. Amalek is the enemy of Israel. So maybe I could say this. Then came the enemy. Then came the battle. Yeah. Look what happens next. And fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. I don't know what my problem is. Look at verse 10 and I'll slow down a little bit and we'll read this. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and one on the one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Father, this afternoon we pray your blessings one more time upon your word. I pray as we learn this truth tonight that you'll bless our lives, help us to be obedient and learn just what you have us to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Well, let's face the reality that we're all going to face conflicts in life, right? Israel faced a conflict with Amalek. So maybe we can say it like this. We all are going to face Amaleks, all of us. Nobody's excluded from this. I remember not too long ago, actually this year, that we discovered that Ethan had some pretty severe dental problems. And so we had to get him to the dentist to find out if we could get his dental problem repaired. And he was having some pain, and he's the one, I'm telling on him a little bit. He doesn't care, though. He's the one that loves the sweets, and he's sneaky, too. And so he'll find the candy, he'll sneak it up into his room, and we didn't know it's there, but he's eating candy after we've already brushed our teeth. He's up there getting ready for bed, pulling candy out from under the pillow or something, right? And he's doing this, and we didn't know about it, but his teeth pulled on him. And so he had some dental issues, and we tried to get him into the dentist, and they couldn't help him because he's so little and scared, they couldn't work on his mouth because he would just cry. So we had to go to the Children's Mercy Hospital and get pediatric dentist, and they had to put him out to do all the dental work at one time at Children's Mercy. And so we got her, and it was such a long process, and he's miserable with his teeth, and we had several nights where he'd come down crying from his room, and it's just his teeth are hurting, and we're crying with him because, You know, there's nothing we can do. We'll just give him maybe a little bit of medicine to edge the pain off. But we need to get to the dentist. But it's a process. And finally, we got to the dentist. We did the Children's Mercy operation, and all that. And he went through the surgery. There was a little more extensive work they had to do than they thought. But it was all done. And we were just happy. He was happy. And it was all good. And then the dental bills started to come. So we had two dental bills from the actual dentist, and those were, reasonable, and we understood that that would be that way. We had no idea what the dental bill was going to be from Children's Mercy. And we didn't think a whole lot about it, and maybe we were leaning a little bit extra on the mercy side, right? Children's Mercy is no mercy, okay? But we got the bill, and it was $8,000. And so there's no... We have health insurance, but we didn't have the adequate dental coverage, and there's no financial helps with this situation. So we found that we had 30 days to pay $8,000 that we had none of. So then came Amalek. Sometimes Amalek comes. And he manifests himself by way of health problems or sometimes dental bills, doesn't he? Sometimes we have discipline issues, and Amalek manifests himself through some kind of addiction or, some kind of disorder that we have. And we can't seem to control ourselves. And Amalek is totally wrapped up in that problem that we're having. Sometimes Amalek manifests itself in our own laziness. And we can't seem to overcome our own laziness sometimes. Getting over that hump. And it's a battle that we face. A battle with our own flesh. Sometimes Amalek is in our own homes by way of us dealing in the relationship with our spouse. Amalek becomes evident in our marriage relationship. Sometimes Amalek is with our children. And we're having a conflict with our children. Sometimes we have Amalek inside the church whenever someone in the church has offended us and there's a battle there. Maybe it's internal. Maybe we're just frustrated and that anger is there, but nonetheless, there's an Amalek. Sometimes Amalek is when your car breaks down or when you lose your job. Sometimes Amalek is whenever a loved one's died. We've been there. Some decision that's made in the family where a close relative has made a decision that hurts the family. That's Amalek. Amalek shows up. That's the scene here. As Israel has been delivered from bondage by the hand of God. It's amazing what God did. Through Moses, God delivered the children of Israel, the parting of the Red Sea, in this amazing, miraculous miracle, and they walked across on dry ground. And then the Egyptians came in after them, and there's a lot of episodes that took to this point, but if you can imagine the scene, as they get across the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are, trampling the ground, trying to catch up, and then God brings the waters in on the Egyptians. And there's an amazing victory as God delivered the children of Israel. God brought deliverance. And then now they're in their journeys in the wilderness and in obedience to God, doing what God wants them to do, following the path that God wants them to follow. And where did they find themselves? In the desert without water. And they began to complain, didn't they? That's where we found ourselves in the early part of chapter 17. Israel had taken their journey in obedience to God, and Moses had led the children of Israel, and they had no water to drink. And so the children of Israel began to chide with Moses. They began to fuss and argue and to bicker and complain at Moses. You're the man of God. You brought us here, and you've done this to us. And Moses identified this arguing and bickering for what it was. Moses is just the man of God. Moses is just in obedience to God, leading the children of Israel. And they were angry at God. It manifested itself in their anger at Moses. But in the end, their frustrations were with God. Moses was commanded by God to strike the rock, and he struck the rock, and water poured out, and it watered all of the children of Israel. It gave them the sustenance that they needed. And I would call that a great victory, wouldn't you? That's a blessing. And there's a picture of Christ there, the rock of our salvation. Isn't that right? That the rock of our salvation must be smitten and die. And it would only come from the rock of salvation, the water of life, through Christ. And so it was a marvelous picture there, painted salvation in the living water of Christ. But then came Amalek. The battle came. We don't always live on a mountaintop, do we, church? Life isn't always mountaintop experiences. We do have Amaleks in life. Yeah. The conflict came and Moses told Joshua to lead the children of Israel into battle. But what did Moses do? Moses didn't go to the battle. He took his two choice chief men, Aaron, Hur, and he went to a hill. So if you can get the scene, Joshua and the company of the children of Israel armed for battle, take their armaments, and they go to the conflict with Amalek to meet them head on, and Moses goes a different direction. He goes to the hill to get a hold of God. Look at verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand, watch this, tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. By the way, the same rod that was used to part the Red Sea, the same rod that was a picture of the presence of God at this time, he takes the rod of God into the hill to seek the face of God. What are we going to do about this conflict? Verse 10, so Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, fought with Amalek. Moses, Aaron, Hur went to the top of the hill. So to get a good picture of the scene here, we have to see the characters involved. First of all, we have Amalek. Who is Amalek? Well, Amalek is the grandson of Esau. And a nation is born out of his loins, if you would, out of his, you know, family tree. It points back to Amalek. It's all part of the descendants of Esau. They organized themselves as one of the early nomadic groups. So in other words, they were like scavengers, if you would, savages in a sense. What they would do is they would pillage in on small cities. They would come in and they would take over the city and take all of the spoil, vulnerable cities, if you would. And so they were nomads. They went from city to city looking for places they could pillage, almost like Middle Eastern Bible times, you know, pirates of the day. And that's what they were. And they were doing what they did. They were going from city to city, and they found a vulnerable opponent, Moses, the children of Israel, and they began to approach. Amalek began to approach. Now, what God had led Moses, or rather what Moses had led Joshua to do, was to confront these Amalekites with battle, ready for war. Moses himself went to the hill apart, and the reason he did that is to get with God. Now, that's an awesome truth for us to grab a hold of as we prepare ourselves for what's going to happen in this story. Whenever we face conflict, which, by the way, this is a fact of our life. We will face conflicts in life. That instead of hitting our conflicts head on without preparing ourselves, in a sense, what we need to do is, first of all, break away and make time to get with God. To get away with God. Seek His face about this problem, about this conflict. When we come to battles in life, the first thing we should do is get alone with God. However, I think that I would be on pretty sturdy ground to say that that's not what we tend to do. What we tend to do is to break away from the things of God and confront our conflicts head on without going to God first. That's what we tend to do. Instead of reading more scripture, instead of praying longer, instead of spending more time with Christian people, Christian friends, that will encourage us instead of being more involved with church and positioning ourselves, spiritually speaking, for victory. When the problems come, our strategy is quite different. Let me give you an example. We homeschool our children, and I don't want to name the one that I'm talking about here because I don't want to embarrass him, but a few of our children have a hard time with their schoolwork. And so while they're in their schoolwork and they're struggling through some of their school, they get frustrated about it, you know? And while they're trying to accomplish whatever subject they're dealing with, they get frustrated, and it starts to show up in their attitude, in their actions, and what they say, and they're just not pleasant to be around when they're frustrated about their schoolwork. And often I would go to them and I'd say, "Well, you're struggling with your school. Did you pray about it?" Like, what are you talking about? I'm struggling with my English. Why would I pray about it? You see, that's my point. We all face Amaleks in life. And the first thing that we do typically isn't to go more or closer to God, to prepare ourselves with this for this conflict, for this Amalek that has come into our life. And we do face these battles. Our proper response would be to position ourselves for victory by going to God. That would be the proper response. And that's precisely what Moses did here. He sent Joshua to get, you know, to engage in battle with Amalek. He went to the hill with the rod of God. Because that's the source of victory, isn't it? Yeah. Israel's victory over Amalek would only come from God. And really, that's what we got to get a hold of this afternoon. We're all going to face battles. The question is if we really want victory or not. The rod being up and down made it clear that the victory would only come from God. Look at verse 11. It says, "It came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed." And so if you can imagine the picture, you have Moses. He's on the hill. He's on the mount. And maybe in the valley you can see the conflict with Joshua, the children of Israel, and Amalek. And Moses lifts the rod of God. And while the rod is up, there's victory. I mean, you can see that the conflict is taking place and Joshua is overcoming Amalek when the rod is up. But then, as it naturally would happen, has anybody ever held like a piece of sheetrock or something? It gets heavy and your hands begin to come down. But when the rod got below his head, then Amalek would overcome the children of Israel in battle. Now, this seems like such a strange occurrence, doesn't it? First of all, why would the scriptures record this? And what's the significance of the rod being up and Israel prevailing and the rod being down and Israel being overtaken? It's simply this. It's nothing complicated about this. It's that God is wanting us to know that He is the only true source of victory. The victory came from God. The victory didn't come from their own resources, from their own abilities, but their victory in this battle with Amalek came from God. There's no secret message here. It's that the source of victory over Amalek was God. And I think that we all can maybe testify to this, in that whenever our walk with God is close, then we have victory in our life. You know what I mean? Whenever you're not in church, and you're not doing right, and victories in life just aren't as prevalent, are they? Yeah, not as strong. When we're not praying, we're not reading our Bible, when we're not where we're supposed to be spiritually speaking, the victories aren't there. And we can relate with that, can't we, church? Yeah. The spiritual walk proves that God fights for us. He is Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. Yeah. What this means is that when God is lifted high, there's victory. Look at verse 13. Joshua discomfited Amalek. Discomfited just means he overtook them with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. So the altars here are to represent worshiping of God. And worshiping God always involves the expression of gratitude for God's blessings. Jehovah Nissi means that when the Lord is lifted high, there is victory. So God is our banner of victory. When God is lifted high in life, we have victory over Amalek. And God was lifted high, and God gave victory to the children of Israel over Amalek. And God has not changed. We change. The nature of people doesn't change. God's nature doesn't change. God was Jehovah Nissi whenever he delivered the children of Israel through the Red Sea and whenever he delivered them in the battle and the conflict with the Amalekites. And God is Jehovah Nissi today. And when God is lifted high in your life, then he will deliver you victory in your life over the Amaleks of life. And so in our life, it should be critical that whenever we face these Amaleks, that our first response would be to go to God. I remember whenever we got that dental bill for Ethan. And, you know, I saw the bill and I thought, well, I wonder what this is going to be. It didn't dawn on me it was going to say $8,000. I'm just going to tell you, it didn't. I didn't expect that at all. And so when I opened it and I pulled it out, I was like, oh my goodness. What was my first response to that? Well, you know what? Generally, our first response to things like that that happen in life, I might have to get another job. We're going to have to figure something out. We're going to have to figure something out. What are we going to do financially about this? What should our first response be? Go to our knees and say, God, we need something that only you can do here. That's what we did. We went to our knees. I didn't report this to you. None of you knew about this when it happened. Not when it happened. We went to our knees. We started praying, God, what do you want us to do? We need you to provide. And you know, and the Lord began to work. And now with that particular bill, there's a very reasonable payment that we make on it. Very reasonable. And somebody out of nowhere sent us a $1,000 check in the mail. It's just the Lord. He's providing. He has provided. He's providing. And when the Amaleks come, I'm just telling you this morning, Listen, I'm not trying to build myself up on some sort of a pedestal here. I'm confessing to you in a lot of ways when Amaleks have come in my life that my first response to that hasn't always been to go to my knees or seek the Lord. God, how are you going to provide? How are you going to deal with this battle, this conflict that I have in my life? But this should be the first thing that we do. Go to our knees and say, God, you are the only one who can provide. God, you are the only one that can take care of this Amalek, this battle that I'm facing in my life. You're the only one that can take care of this. And God wants to take care of it. He wants to fight your battles for you. He wants to fight and win your battles for you. But it's necessary for us to go to the mount and lift the banner up. Because if the banner isn't lifted up, there is no victory. If the banner in your life is not lifted up, then there is only defeat. Because when the banner was down, there was defeat. But when the banner was up, there was victory. That tells us only victory only comes from God when we're fighting Amalek. He needs to be lifted. We need to get more in our Bibles when the Amaleks come. Oh man, I got this Amalek in life and I have no time to read my Bible. Whoa, time out. The Amaleks here, not only do we need to read our Bible, we need to read our Bible more. The Amaleks come and I just do not have time. I do not have the capacity during this Amalek of life emotionally to pray. Listen, not only during our struggles and conflicts in life do we need to pray more. That's what we need. Is there a biblical example of this? Oh, I mean, there's a ton. Has anybody ever read the story about Esther? Isn't that an awesome story? The story of Esther. The children of Israel are in bondage. And while in bondage, the king, you know, promoted a Jew named Esther to the queen, to be the queen. He chose her to be the queen. This is the sovereignty of God at work, I want you to know. And she becomes the queen, and Mordecai, you know, as Haman brought judgment on the children of Israel because of his hatred for the Jews, because Mordecai would not bow himself to evil Haman. Remember that? And Haman deceived the king and said, we need to destroy the Jews. And so there was a law that was written by the Medes of the Persians that cannot be destroyed or canceled, that on a certain day that all of the Jews will be annihilated. They will be eradicated. Right? And so this is what happened. Mordecai went to Esther and he said to Esther, God has put you in a position that you are so that you could go to the king and that you could tell him the state of the Jews, of our condition, and plead for our state, that we might not be destroyed. What did Esther say? By the way, would you consider that an Amalek? I would. She's not supposed to go to the king without being invited. And so she's going to introduce herself to the king without being invited. She potentially could be put to death on the spot. And so she went to the children. She went to Mordecai, who was to address the children of Israel, to do what? For 3 days, fast and pray. So we have an Amalek in life, and we need to pray more. And God gave the victory. The whole nation was spared. And Esther went to God more. Yeah. We do have battles. We do face conflicts in life. And the way to deal with these conflicts is not through medicine, church. It's not to ignore the problem. It's not to blame other people for the Amalek, the problem. It's not to move away, get a new job. It's not to change churches. It's not to get a divorce or blame God. It's dealt with when we go to God more, seek Him more. I don't usually preach a long time in the afternoon service for a couple reasons, mostly on purpose. I don't preach a long time anyway, but I do want to encourage you with this. It could be one of two things. One, you could be in an Amalek of life right now, like a battle. Let me encourage you to go to God more to deal with this issue. But if you're not there, let me encourage you with this. The Amalek of life is going to come. And when it comes, go ahead and decide the way we're going to deal with it is to go to God. Go to God more during those times. Seek His face more. And God will give victory as we seek Him more. Father, we thank You so much for this day. And God, for Your blessings today in Your word. I pray You'll help us, Lord, to gain a great understanding of this truth, that victory comes when You're lifted high. I pray for Your help that we would, Lord, change the way we think about how we deal with the Amaleks of life. We pray Your touch. We pray Your blessings and Your help in Jesus' name. Amen.